Buongiorno, my name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
Hello, this is Jordan Rich with one of my favorite people, Lauren Birmingham, and I love doing these segments because, well, I get hungry, and then I want to pursue everything Lauren talks about. Welcome, Lauren. Great to see you again.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me back.
Well, today we're going to take a tour of Italy, a part of Italy, the hills of Bologna, and specifically to talk about one restaurant that happens to be a Michelin star restaurant with a Michelin star chef, and I think this is really exciting. What is the name of this beautiful restaurant we're going to be talking about?
The name of the restaurant is Amerigo's 1934, which translates to Amerigo's 1934.
Was that the year that it was founded?
It was founded in 1934 by Alberto Bonini's grandfather, whose name was Amerigo. And along with his wife, Agnes, they opened Trattoria in the hills of Bologna and a little bed and breakfast, too.
So we're talking nearly 100 years ago.
Nearly 100 years. It was inspired by his grandfather's passion. It was one of the first post-war period establishments due to his passion to serve people who were passing through, whether it be travelers, the horsemen, the prelates that often traveled from the north to the south to Rome.
Before we get too far along and talk about this amazing restaurant, what does it mean to have a Michelin star? I mean, it's very prestigious.
To have a Michelin star is very prestigious, and it doesn't mean that it's a lettuce on a plate. It doesn't mean that it's fancy and you need to wear high heels, a ball gown, and a tuxedo. It's a group of food people who base their scores on the quality of products, the mastery and flavor and cooking techniques, the personality also of the chef, its value for its money, and the consistency of food. In particular, Alberto really procures local farmers within a couple of, miles radius, which is really farm to table. And in Italy, it's called 0 kilometers, meaning it's right there. So it's very in the rhythm of the seasons. It's working with the local farmers there. Also, it's very near to the Po Valley, which it's a farmland. So they're known for apples and cherries, and they're different kinds of beef that raise, both the milk for the Parmigiano Reggiano and also the different cuts of meat there. There are venison farmers and wild hunters that catch the venison, their own little farm for chicken. So it's very, very fresh. It's very nearby.
Let's talk a little bit about the words delicious and dreamy that you shared with me, because every restaurant of its kind in this particular part of the world has a certain vibe. So let's talk delicious and dreamy. What do you mean by that?
It's delicious and dreamy. It's certainly a food experience that we do once or twice a year when we're visiting there. Everything's something like you'd find in Nonna's kitchen, but it has that country flair. It's very traditional, but it's super delicious. And of course, the region of Bologna is called La Città Grass, which means the fat one, because of these beautiful products that they cook with. Parmigiano Reggiano, which really isn't a fatty cheese because it's cooked so long, but they cook a lot with pork cheeks and prosciutto and rabbit and lots of creams. They don't make lasagna with ricotta, though. They just make it with bechamel. But a typical menu at Amerigo would be a frittata that is an egg omelet that he makes with slow-cooked caramelized onions. It's really delicious. A creamy polenta that he covers with white shaved truffles and a creamy Parmigiano sauce. Of course, there's the traditional tortellini and brodo, which are the little small rounds of the tortellini. And those are stuffed with a mixture of pork loin, prosciutto di Parma, mortadella di Bologna, Parmigiano Reggiano cheese. And the secret ingredient is the nutmeg. They're traditionally served in a clear broth, which is made with capon or chicken. Those same pastas and same methods of making them are also stuffed with a mixture of chestnuts and cinnamon or apricots with cinnamon, and they're baked and they're little desserts. So if I go early into the kitchen, it's not uncommon to see two nonnas or three nonnas in the middle of the trattoria with these very long wooden rolling pins, rolling out these mini-size tortellini that are used as a dessert.
In previous episodes in this podcast series, we've talked about the various pastas based on the regions of Italy and so forth. You mentioned tortellini. Is there another pasta that's very well known for this part of the country?
There are two very unique pastas. You won't even see them outside of this area. One is the passatelli. It's a poor man's pasta made with dry breadcrumbs and Parmigiano cheese, and it's worked together into a very dense pasta, and that's usually served with truffles. And another one is the gramigna, which is a short pasta. It's typical of Bologna. It has a curly shape. In fact, I always stock my kitchen when I come back from Bologna, and this is what they look like, Jordan. They're often called tubicino, which means little tiny tubes, but they're swirly. So they're great for catching the sauce. And traditionally, they're served with sauteed or grilled handmade sausage with a creamy Parmigiano cheese. So in addition to the real traditional pastas like the tortellini, the tortelloni, ravioli, gnocchi with tartufo, this area is also very well known for its risotto, which they serve with broccoli rapi. They serve with fresh white truffles and also the lasagna. The lasagna in this region is always made with the pasta that has green spinach in it. It's an old antique recipe that dates back hundreds of years. It's not made with ricotta. It's made with bechamel and a very, very light layered tomato sauce that you can barely see. And it's often even served with, they call it lasagna la ragù bianco, which means it's a white sauce. And it's very interesting when you make it because you gently work into the pasta dough chopped, steamed spinach that's been squeezed so all the water is out. And then, of course, in this region, there are the secondi, which are the mains, and those are very, very wholesome. Things like coniglio all'aceto balsamico, which is the roasted rabbit, slow cooked, and the balsamic ancient vinegar. There's the capocollo di maiali, which is a kind of meat from the pig. There's also guancia di vitella, which is another meat dish that they serve with red fried onions. They also have lots of hearty, meaty things like pheasant and venison. And there's one particular thing that Amerigo's 1934 makes, and it's an egg that's been baked in the oven. So the white part sort of raises like a souffle, and they serve it on a little nest of like a pastry crust, a very light pastry crust that's lined with cream mashed potatoes that have been scented with truffles. And then they just cover it with the white shaved truffle. It's the most delicious creation and beautiful too that you can imagine.
It just sounds amazing. Everything about this wonderful restaurant in the hills of Bologna. You mentioned to me earlier that Alberto has a philosophy. I'm sure that's been passed down from generation to generation. It's a mission statement, and it's very important. Share that with us, if you would.
He's definitely un personaggio della Paese, which is a well-known character of this small little town. He prides himself on using local ingredients in season, and he calls it a pride of tradition in the roots of the earth and in the territory. He sticks to tradition. He doesn't mix a lot of spices or ingredients. He's really a purist in keeping with tradition when it comes to everything from the antipasti, the pastas, the main courses. His cheeses are all procured at local farms. Even his desserts, they're all made in-house.
Yeah, I noticed on the menu, biscotti, homemade, of course, with some red wine for dessert. That's my kind of dessert. That sounds terrific. Let's talk a little bit about wine. We haven't mentioned it yet. It's an important part of every Italian eatery in Italy or anywhere else. What's the wine list like?
The most important wine in this region is the Pignoletto. It's a sparkling, either white or rosé, similar to Prosecco, but it's a softer wine. It's made in the hills of Bologna in and around that area. And the other one, of course, is the Sangiovese, which is king of the wine in this region. Alberto really loves to pair his antipasti, pasta mains, and even dessert with the Colli Bolognesi. Those are the wines of the hills of Bologna. And his philosophy on the wines are, he believes in tasting them. He feels that it allows you to develop your selection. And the interesting thing about this, not only does he serve them in the restaurant, but if you eat in the part of the restaurant that's called La Bottega, the Bottega, it's a little like sort of boutique-y grocery store that has beautiful wooden shelves that are lined with his collection of wines, his pastas like the one I showed you, La Gramigna, jams and marmalades. He makes his own kind of rosé vinegar, his own balsamico, his own bolognese in a jar. He was one of the first. I also like to add that he's so passionate about foods. He was one of the brainchild children that invented Italy, the food emporium, whose first was in Bologna. And now, of course, we even have one in Boston. He's an advocate of the slow food movement, which means preparing foods in their natural season, not tampering with them, no processing, working in biodynamic farming, and never adding pesticides to a food ingredient.
Everything about this sounds delightful. I'm just wondering, how far in advance do you have to make plans to get there? Is it very, very popular?
You do have to make reservations in advance, especially in Bologna, because people go there to eat, you know, and you have to think when you go, it's very traditional. There are some places that serve pizza or food kiosks that will serve finger foods, but it's a region that's really traditional in its roots of cuisine. You'll see traditional things with few ingredients on the plate, and always served in the season. He's been a Michelin star restaurant since 1998. When you arrive, I've shared with you some of the photos, Jordan. It's a very unassuming door front. The restaurant part, the kitchen part, is in the back of the restaurant. The little door is always open with the screen. And when I arrive, I always go in through the kitchen door. And it's a friendly, loving staff. They welcome you in. They tell you to wash your hands first. And they're there, you know, they're making everything from the antipasti, the pasta, even the desserts and the bread. Now, I know when you think of bread in Italy, think of a big loaf of Italian bread or a ciabatta or a panini. But there they make the tilias. And the tilias are these small little pancakes, but they're thicker. And they're made with the bread dough. The protagonist ingredient is milk. The milk gives it a light, sweet taste. And you scoop it out after it's raised twice in a grill pan that looks like a giant flower. So imagine these rounds side by side that in themselves make a circular pan. And you put the dough in a hot griddle. You close the top. You cook it on one side for a few minutes. And then what comes out are these little warm breads that have a design on them. They're embossed almost. And those little breads are eaten with antipasti like cheese, prosciutto, the salami, along with pastas and even main course, or just dipped in the olive oil and the balsamic vinegar. When we go to Amerigo's, it's usually in the spring when Reno goes to the GP Motor in Mugello, or we always go every single year, and we have gone every single year for the last 20 years when it's the food festival during the Truffle Festival. And the local artisans fill the street from the area in the little village. There's a main tent with all of the truffle traders, and they trade, they buy, they sell. People come from all over to see the truffles. And as you approach the village, you can actually feel and smell the scent of truffle in the air. During this artisan street fair, which happens the few weeks, there are 3 weeks from the end of October into November, you find the best of small artisans who have a big passionate heart, who are selling their Parmesan cheese, their wines, their balsamic, chestnuts, potatoes, pumpkins, porcini mushrooms. And it's not uncommon to see an actual whole pig being roasted and sliced by the town's butcher. And they'll serve it in cones, or they'll serve it in a panini. There are beekeepers that come that sell their honey. There's one woman, she is one of the only and most highly respected women who grows saffron, and she sells saffron that's jarred to be cooked with. She sells saffron teas for sleeping, for well-being. So it's just a real plethora of artisans who come out to showcase their handmade products and food goods.
So it sounds like it's quite an experience not only to dine at this restaurant, but to be in the environs and to just take it all in.
Exactly. It's just, you can't even imagine it. You should come with Roberta. The winemaker has wine. The new wine is out at that time of year. So he's giving samples, and people are buying his jugs of the new wine. You know, the wine that's been warmed with a little cinnamon inside to keep you warm as the night grows long. And the festa goes on all night long with music and eating and dancing in the streets.
Once again, why don't you remind us about the name of the restaurant, where it's located, and how people can find out more?
Sure. It's Amerigo's 1934. And if you join us on one of our cooking vacations, it's part of the program, and we go there on a Sunday during the festival. And if you're not with us during the festival, it's also included in the tour. You would go for a lunch or a dinner during your tour while in Bologna.
Well, that sounds delightful. You've whetted our appetites as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. Hope to see you in sunny Italy soon. Thank you for listening. And remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.